You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there, corporate surfers of the world. This is episode 14 of the third season of the Surfing Corporate Podcast. And this is the final episode of the season.
No!
But before we continue, we have some breaking news. Our Surfing Corporate shop is open. Go to our website, surfingcorporate.com, click on our shop tab, and you can find our original Corporate Survivor merch line and other fun stuff as well. And remember, by buying our merch, you're not only showcasing your corporate awesomeness, you'll also help us continue to make this podcast. And it's a lot of work, people. So please do.
Yeah, otherwise we're going to need a GoFundMe page too.
I'm Eileen Marciel.
And I'm Glenda Pakkinens. And as Eileen was saying before, this is the end of what's been a really special season for us. When we first started this podcast a few years ago, our guests, truthfully, were mostly people we knew. And we're doing us a favor. There were high-level executives, really accomplished people who looked at us and said, fine, I'll do you a solid. And they came to our show, had a great, amazing time. So truly, we are sincerely grateful to all of our colleagues and friends and coworkers or ex-coworkers that came on the show because they believed in the vision for what we were doing with Surfing, with Surfing Corporate from the very beginning.
And then slowly but surely, as we started to get a handle on how to actually make a podcast, and as word of mouth spread and people began listening from so many places, now when we reach out to amazing people that we don't know, they say yes.
Can you believe it?
I know. It still amazes me. We've talked to so many wonderful and competent people that honestly, we never would have met without this pod.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We've talked to really incredibly fascinating people, really relevant topics. And from all of the feedback we've gotten from our listeners and our fans, we know it's stuff that really resonated with you guys. We discussed layoffs and what goes down when two companies merge together or when one company buys another company. My favorite moment of that episode was when our guest Jordan Stratton described, with zero lack of detail, with absolute candor, exactly how things went down at his company.
So we are acquired and we're kind of given the, don't worry guys, this is happening, but there's, you know, it's just business as usual. I don't know how many times I heard the phrase business as usual for months.
Oh my God, yes.
Don't worry about it, everybody. Like right now it's business as usual. There's just a guy walking outside of apartments with a noose, but he's just, it's okay. Not yet.
Keep focused.
Not yet, guys.
Nothing's happening over here. Nothing's happening.
Make your little jokes. It's all right. So, and it was all right. It was business as usual until it wasn't. You know, then it kind of became, okay, guys, we're going to have an important meeting today. You're like, oh, the tone of that information is different. And they ended up letting go. About 80% of us were gone. So
Wow.
It was pretty brutal.
I love how he has a sense of humor, like with what was clearly a horrible moment in his professional tenure.
And that was part of the reason why that conversation was so fun. It was a really deep and very, very obviously very sobering topic that we were talking about. Nothing to make fun of there, but he actually made it funny. And I found myself laughing at the most like insane things that he would say at these crazy situations that happen, but are absolutely true when companies merge together or are bought out by larger companies. Yeah.
That's the only way to survive. I also loved his honesty when we, you know, were talking and asking him, well, now that the dust has settled, now that this whole thing has been in place for a while, how do you feel right now? And then this is what he said.
Depends on the day. You know, I'm still am like, I'm kind of a pendulum. You know, there's some days where, you know, I'm feeling like, you know what, I have control over this. There's definitely a lot to look forward to. And there's a lot of great things about my role. And there's some days where I'm like, we could just burn the building down and I would feel nothing.
No, he's amazing. And we can't forget his perfect description of the corporate term, growth opportunity. Remember that one?
It's the idea of like growth, like it's going to be a growing opportunity.
A stretch opportunity.
What is this, yoga class? Get out of here. No, don't get me wrong. Like I know that this is supposed to be a positive thing, and it often is. Growth is crucial and growth is uncomfortable. And in order to learn and change, it takes, you have to go against what's normal for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that takes work. But it's when management uses that as like, oh, like you got it. We're going to make you take out the dumpsters 6 days a week. It's a growing opportunity. Like, no, it's just a shit job that you don't want to do.
In that accent? Yeah. In that like Jersey.
This is the Brooklyn Pizzeria corporate life. Yeah. Or New Jersey if you want. This isn't a growing opportunity. This is something you didn't want to do, Frank. Like, don't put this on me.
Yeah, when it's used to manipulate you into thinking that it's an opportunity for you and only for you, and like
you're reframing something negative into something positive for your benefit, not for mine. Don't do that. Also, don't call this a family like you care about me. No.
Jordan, we're fans. You know we are. And let's not forget the episode we did called HR That Says Fuck and Other Things. That was a fan favorite too. We spoke with Alexa Baggio and Tyson McKenzie. They're two senior HR leaders who believe that HR needs to evolve and take on a much more modern view of the workplace. And Alexa did not hold back on her thoughts about companies and leaders who get off policing employees.
You just have to be able to trust the people you hire. And if you don't trust that your sales guy is going to go to the gym for 45 minutes and come back at lunch, like, why the fuck did you hire him? Because all the time and money and energy you're spending worried about getting that guy in front of his desk is just dollars wasted. Just let the guy go to the gym and come back and work. And if he isn't, then you address it. But I think the infantilization of the worker is one of the biggest trends that I would love to reverse in the working world of people, which is like, let's stop treating everybody like they need kid gloves and let adults be adults.
More HR people like this, please.
Well, remember, they're people operations. Remember, we had that whole discussion about how HR needs a rebrand and that whole thing. So yes, people ops.
Yes,
that was great.
And later in the season, we gave you pro tips about how the recruiting process works when we talk with HR and recruiting expert Daniel Space, also known as Dan from HR, on his celebrity TikTok account.
Wait, and before we do, can we just say that wasn't it around this time in the season that we added a spectacular, talented intern to our team? What if we do a little intro for our amazing Stephanie Hildesucker and have her join us on the podcast right about now so she can start chiming in too?
Steph, are you ready?
I am now. Thank you, Golda.
Woohoo! Always keeping you on your toes, babe. Come on.
That's part of the surfing way. Guys, I'm so honored to be here, and I can't wait to discuss the rest of the season.
Okay, so back to our conversation with Dan from HR. He explained why lately it seems like you have to interview 1,000 people at each company when you're interviewing for a role. Let's hear why.
So what's funny is like the increase as it relates to the number of interviews that people have had. What I find a lot of people don't realize is that comes in direct response to employees saying, hey, we want more of a say on who joins our team. And there's just, I think, a lot to be said about not just agreeing to something because someone asked for it versus just having a conversation and weighing, hey, well, what are the pros and cons? And is this an interview process where it really is vital for 11 people to meet with the person?
We also asked what type of language is best when writing resumes for today's competitive job market.
So dynamic language counts a little, but not as much as people like to think. Whether or not, like, I'm a huge opponent of using the word spearheaded because it just sounds so silly. No one is hunting fish or pigs in the forest. Like, you're like, oh, spearheaded this project that saved $1 million.
Mental note, Glenda, we need to update those
records. Eileen, we gotta do some editing, girl.
Spearhead it like that. That is one of my personal pet peeves. It is never going to be the reason that you get hired or that you don't get hired. But I do think, though, there are beneficial optimizations. So one of the things that I always talk about is the idea of quantifying and qualifying. Yes, so like adding data and statistics into your bullet points has a very real improvement impact on it, because it provides context and allows the reading manager to anchor what it is you did and how you improved it. So even if it's estimates.
Oh God, that one blew my mind, because I have spearheaded everywhere. I'm a fan of spearheaded. Okay. And remember, he even talked to us about why marketing and creative people, Eileen, tend to kind of suck at writing resumes.
One of the perfect examples was someone hired me to change their resume. They're a senior marketing director, and I love working with marketing. They're creative geniuses. They're so dramatic.
That's Eileen.
I adore them. And like in my experience, I've gotten to work with sales. I've gotten to work with marketing, with engineering, with finance. So I love learning all the stereotypes. And marketing is just, they lead with their heart, and everything is so passionate and compassionate and empathetic. And brilliant. And when I read this person's resume, it was like creative storytelling, you know, helping curate the journey for an optimal.
Eileen feels so seen right now.
What do you mean quantify? My art isn't quantifiable.
I can't quantify love. And so as I was speaking to this person, now she had been in one job for 20 years. She had grown up starting in like an assistant graphic designer, and then she was promoted all the way up to head of creative. The company closed down, and she had an amazing amount of skills and was able just to do so many things for brands, but was using language no one would understand. Because when recruiters and hiring managers input these types of roles, there is a determined, nationally agreed kind of like job family base that we all use. So if it doesn't have those words and phrases in it, it becomes much harder and harder for a recruiter to understand what you did. So like, I always tell someone when they're like, oh, you know, created the storytelling journey across omni-channel presence. I'm like, okay, so you designed a creative strategy that was launched across all your social media channels. Got it. Okay. So by breaking it down into that kind of syntax will absolutely increase your chances.
Oh, that's really good to know. I was attacked.
We were both called out. I was attacked for spearheaded. You were attacked for being a creative storyteller.
We love Dan from HR. He's great. We really learned a lot from him.
He was a definite highlight, as was the episode that was so special to us. Because do you remember, Eileen, you traveled literally cross country. I got on a flight and traveled a couple of hours, but we traveled to New Jersey to record an episode in person with our very first guest ever on the podcast, former SVP marketing and media executive, Christina Scribano. She had recently left her corporate job after almost 30 years to explore a whole new facet in her life, and that was entrepreneurship. That was such a great episode.
Let's listen.
As my job got wider, the work got narrower, became more operational, and became more corporate, very, very corporate. And like it pulled me out of the work and away from the people. And it was less and less about the work, more and more about just the corporate red tape, breaking down obstacles, breaking through walls to get things done, problem solving, you know, all of that stuff. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so fucking bored. You know, I started to come to a close, I think, after 28 years in the business and 14 at the last company I was at. I just started to feel erased. It was going in a different direction in terms of like what was valued. And I just, again, as my job got higher, it got less and less important to me.
Right. Yeah, that was really honest and candid. And she was so open about her whole journey. And I know that spoke to a lot of people.
Yeah, and that was all she knew. Like corporate life was her entire professional life. So after almost 30 years deciding to take a plunge out of that into the unknown. Okay, that was my Frozen moment.
We don't have money to do that one, so don't go further than that. And she spoke really candidly about the moments she had doubts and how she got through that, remember?
Every time I had doubt, because of course, I mean, inevitably you're going to have doubt. I mean, the fear of walking away from security, because that's the way it felt like. I was stepping away from security into absolute chaos of owning a small business. It's so funny because like my mom is like sort of polar opposite of me. She's all about security. She's all about like staying in the same job for 50 years, right? Like, and you just take it. Yeah. Just take it. Just sit there and take whatever they give, whatever they're willing to give you. She's like a sounding board in the sense of my opposition. So when I talked to her about it and she was like, oh my God, this is crazy. What are you doing? How do you leave? What are you going to do? And I'm like, all right, let's do this. And that's when I was just like, sure. And I was like, I don't care how much doubt creeps in. I'm going to push that shit away and I'm just going to keep at it. You can do this.
Yes.
You can do this.
Yes.
You can do this.
Such a badass. Shout out to Christina Scribano. Shout out to Cherry Home Designs in Westfield, New Jersey. Steph, I remember that you spoke to us after we did this episode and you talked about how much all of everything that Christine said actually really resonated with you. You want to chime in?
Absolutely. This was one of my favorite episodes. She was so candid and open about her experience. And I think that it is rare to find executives at that level who are so open about their transitions. So incredibly refreshing. And she did such an amazing job.
Welcome to the fan club of Christina Scribano. And we also had a really interesting conversation with New York Times bestselling author Cy Wakeman.
Wait, can we just say that again? Yes, we had New York Times bestselling authors on the podcast, people. This is what we talk about when we say stepping up
our game
a lot. And woohoo, now we have bestselling authors on the podcast.
Yes, we do. And we discussed with her how to ditch workplace drama. And spoiler alert, you are likely a big part of the problem.
And we also learned the science behind why venting feels so good, even though it's not really good for you.
Like meth.
When you vent, it releases super good brain chemicals. And when you form a neural pathway by venting, it loves to be fed with the same thing that formed it. So you just vent more, right? And you get this hit of dopamine over and over and over again. And people are like, but venting, I feel better. It feels good. I'm like, of course it feels good. So does crack cocaine.
It's a life lesson.
But I'm not going to recommend that as like your daily work habit. Like, eating an entire sheet cake feels good for a few moments, food addicts tell me, but
not shit cake for 45 minutes venting
exactly.
In my office. Got it. Okay. To crack up anytime I listen to that. Oh yeah, that was really enlightening. I also remember something Cy said during that episode, which is our tendency to blame managers for our lack of engagement and why that's not really helping us either.
So when people come to me and they want to have a better workplace experience and they want me to change reality, I need a better manager. That could be a more ideal situation. But the research shows, Akers work shows, I could change your reality and get it perfect. That would increase your engagement, happiness, 10%. I could help you foster personal accountability. That would increase your happiness and engagement 40%. Let's work on you. So many people don't realize that the true denominator around engagement is accountability. High accountables are reasonable and easy to engage. They share responsibility for their own engagement.
We got bitch slapped in this episode.
We were like, boom, boom, boom. Oh, what? You think it's other people's problem? No, girl, sit down. Let me tell you why. You're the problem. Eileen and I were like, whoa.
We need to go to therapy after this one.
Exactly.
Eye-opening. Totally eye-opening.
Now, I was just wondering if it's my personal TikTok algorithm, but because I keep seeing these videos where people take no accountability, and I don't know if it has to do with the younger generations or if it's something that, again, has to do with my personal algorithm, in which case I have to review what's going on. But yeah, definitely.
Maybe you got to rethink the videos that you're hitting the likes on or that you're engaging with.
Yes. We also talked about the heated topic of female rivalry at the workplace with a topic expert and author, Andy Kramer.
And we explored how understanding cultural differences is key to improving your work relationships in this global workforce with former COO of Paramount for the Americas, Europe, Africa, and the Middle East, Susana Sala Bosch.
If you are able to build trust with people, no matter what accent you have, no matter what cultural background you have, no matter what kind of approach more nice, less polite, more corporate. If you are able to be authentic and to build a trust relationship, all the rest don't matter.
Susana's insights about the contrast between corporate America and Spain or Latin America are so, so spot on. Let's listen.
In Latin America and in Spain, we use time in the office to relate to each other, to build personal relationships.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of time from us. In the US, we go to the office just to work. One of the things that shocked me most when I came to the US in 1998, St. Louis, Missouri, was the silence in the office. You enter in the office in the US and everybody is sitting in the desk.
Typing. In silence.
Nobody's speaking. You enter in office in Spain or Latin America, everybody's yelling, everybody's kissing, chaos. Everybody's touching, everybody's sitting together, everybody's having multiple coffees. So you finish one coffee with one person, you see another going by, hey, do you want to have a coffee? Yes. And by 11 a.m., you have already 4 coffees, nothing done. But, what is important, you have a very good relationships. You build relationships that then you are going to use for work.
I'm telling you, she was unreal. I love that Susana would go from these really thought-provoking, mic drop, reflective moments to then being completely hysterical, super real, super honest.
For example,
I changed my approach, but mainly I changed my language. So instead of saying that sucks, fucking change it, right? That is Spanish style, okay?
Well, dilo en español, ¿cómo lo decías en español?
Esto es una mierda, cámbialo.
Okay.
Right? I changed to, oh, that's great, thank you, I appreciate your work. Do you mind if we can change this and this and this and this, and it's going to be even better?
So you corporified it. You put it in corporate lingo, and it worked perfect.
Exactly, and it works. Okay. Because, I mean, it was not only that I was being perceived as rude, it's that I didn't get the best of the people. Because if you don't understand the difference of the culture, you cannot manage people, and you cannot get the best of them.
Again, mic drop after mic drop in that episode. And she also had epic advice for anyone trying to navigate corporate America coming from abroad.
Be ready to pay a price. Nothing is for free. There is no learning. There is not growing. There is no moving forward in your professional career. There is no way to provide your kids or your family a better future without paying a price. And everyone has to pay a different price. Sometimes it's tough time before you get adapted and a lot of crying. Because, I mean, this podcast is about making things fun. But moving to another country, it's really difficult. Really difficult.
Very hard. Yes.
Yeah, and it was so insane because, well, we did that episode in English. And then we did a related episode with Susana in Spanish. So it was the same topic, but it was so fascinating because a lot of the language and a lot of the emotion came through so differently when she did it in her native tongue in Spanish. Entonces, como dijo Stephanie, like when she heard Susana's episode in Spanish, te tocó, it touched you because it was very heartfelt and it was so honest and so personal what she shared with us. That's why I think it was fascinating to be able to hear her in both languages tackling the subject from a slightly different angle. So gracias, Susana, eres lo máximo. You know we love you here on Surfing Corporate. For our most recent episode, we did a deep dive into what you need to know about the really scary trend of online job scams on major platforms like LinkedIn and Indeed.
Let's listen to the jaw-dropping stats we shared during that episode.
a recent 2023 article from Insider called "Don't Be Scammed by Fake Job Listings" states that approximately 14 million people encounter job scams annually. And that's according to the Better Business Bureau. The article states that these kinds of scams, which often involve fictitious job postings, interview with pseudo recruiters, and bogus onboarding processes designed to steal candidates' sensitive information like bank account details, social security numbers, all of this increased during the pandemic. And that's according to data from the Federal Trade Commission. So people, if something sounds too good to be true, remember, it probably is.
LinkedIn said it proactively removed 87.1 million spam or scam content in the first half of 2022.
87.1 yes. million pieces of scam content in 6 months.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That is insane.
Scam or spam, but none of it's good. Okay, crazy, crazy times, people. I hope you're not part of that crazy statistic.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we do a lot of research here on Surfing Corporate to be able to prep and give you guys insights and really like meaty information about the topics we cover.
And for today, for this final episode, we decided that we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to talk about a few topics that we've had on our mind. And as our newly finished sale deck says, here at Surfing Corporate, we like to spark thoughtful conversations about work. Doesn't that sound wonderful, Glenda?
Yes, I love that because we've been working on that sales deck for a really long time. And if you didn't hear that right, let me say it again, people. We are out there selling spots on Surfing Corporate. So if you have a business or you know people who really want to advertise on Surfing Corporate, reach out, give us a shout out, reach out to Eileen, to me. We would love to work with you.
Please remember, we have a highly targeted audience of corporate professionals who want to make their work experience better. That is audience gold, people. Like, we have a high-value creme de la creme audience that you should advertise to.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, and yes, that was our straight-up sales pitch. But back to the episode. For this little section, we're just going to freestyle our thoughts. And we decided that each of us is going to bring a topic to the table. And we're just going to discuss it off the cuff with whatever the topic is. So I'm going to say, Eileen, how about you go first? What's your spark-worthy topic?
My spark-worthy topic, as someone who is on social media all the time for the Surfing Corporate account, a trend that I have seen lately is this whole thing about women stating that we need to change the way we write our emails to be more like men. And it's all about take out the exclamation points, take out the just, take out the emojis, because we have to be more direct and like, don't take any shit from men, write like men. And I get the sentiment. I get where they're coming from when it comes to, you know, not having to felt put down or less or have to communicate in ways that are cute. But at the same time, and I make it shit for this, at the same time, I feel that why I write like that. That's clearly I have the exclamation points and the emojis and the GIFs. Like, that's the way I communicate. And I don't feel I need to change. I don't feel I'm less or less powerful or less worthy or less of a strong player because I communicate that way, because that's authentic to me. And also, why do I have to be more like men to be considered a player? And we did that whole episode about female rivalry. And one thing that we took away from that is this whole notion that to be able to play the game, we have to enhance our masculine traits. And why? How about this? How about men communicate in a less asshole-y way and be nicer on their emails? Like, how about if that's Peach a trend? Girl. How about if that's a trend? Like, why can't we be nice and fun and take ourselves less seriously? Why can't that be a trend? But that's my personal opinion. Maybe I'm biased because that's the way I like to communicate and I like to receive emails that aren't like just like meet today, later, notice, bye. Like, give me something here. I'm drowning. Give me some light. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, listen, I'm hearing you and I am 1,000%. You were saying everything and I'm here like nodding enthusiastically. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Because I think that for you, and I think you nailed it when you said, because it's authentic to me and that's what feels right for me. And I think that in that
frame, it makes absolute sense. You and I communicate differently. You and I communicate differently speaking and in writing. And it wouldn't feel as authentic to me to write necessarily the way you do. So I think for me, and this is again, this is why we're having these conversations, just to have the different points of view on the table. I think because I've written in a certain way for 25 plus years in a very corporate-y sort of way.
No. But let me clarify here, Glenda, because I'm not meaning necessarily emojis and GIFs. I mean, like, there's whole trend saying that you should eradicate exclamation
points. I just want to check in. Blah, blah, blah.
I just wanted to, sorry I'm late. Like, no, you don't ask for forgiveness. You don't say sorry. You don't say just because, you know, you're a badass. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like I am less of a person because I say things in a way that's not super direct and aggressive. Because the whole pitch is like, we need to be more aggressive like men. It's not being corporate or not corporate. Like, I completely understand that has to do with, you know, what makes you feel comfortable. It's a taking out I don't know, kind of like the usual tone that women add that's kind of like more positive and more friendly than men. That's my point.
Well, I mean, when you frame it in the sense of like gender, the expectations of how a man would write versus how a woman would write, then yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. And I am the first one to say, I also still struggle with, hi, I just wanted to check in and see if you, should I just take out the just? What?
Yeah.
I wanted to check it. Wait, no. Huh. Where are we on the, so everything that we just replayed that Susanna said, we literally just replayed Susanna's clip where she said she had to adapt it because she was too direct.
Yeah.
And she's certainly not a man. It's just culturally, and that's what she explained, culturally in Spain, you are much more direct and to the point. You don't need to go through all of this. How are you? I hope this email finds you well. And da, 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 da. She's like, boom. But working here and working in Latin America and with, you know, other cultures that are different from hers, she realized, wait, this isn't coming across the way I intend. So let me soften the language a little bit. So I think that if you're looking at it from the perspective of, is it a male gendered or female gendered way of writing? Then yeah, I guess that in that sense, it doesn't, if you're you, so write however you feel comfortable. But when you're talking to, do you want to create something that's effective and that's going to land well to the people that you are trying to get a message across to, then I don't have a problem personally, you know, framing things in a different way or writing an extra line or taking away an extra line. I think at the end of the day, whatever you feel comfortable with to make sure that your message gets across, I think, you know, that's what I'm going to continue to do. And for me, I am definitely the one who will put the old school colon, open, what is it, close parentheses. I don't even do like emojis or anything. I just do the old school, which then signifies how old I am because we didn't even have that back in the day. So we had to make up with punctuation what a little smiley face would be. So if that doesn't give away who I am, I don't know what does.
The intention is what matters, Glenda. We see you yes. Trying. Well, I think it really depends on the workplace, right? So if you see that what gets rewarded is people being super aggressive and direct and short, you're going to try to emulate that and copy those behaviors. But if you see that you're in a more open-minded environment where emotions matter and that doesn't get punished, then people are more likely to be themselves in writing or in person. So it really depends on the environment. I'm with both. I think you have to be authentic to yourself. And also, if possible, please don't send me novels via email. Like, just keep
it, bullets.
Keep it short.
Email etiquette 101, courtesy of Surfing Girlfriend.
So what's your topic, Glenda?
You know, I was thinking about this, Aileen, and I don't know if this is a topic or a little mini therapy that I need, but I'm going to put it on the table. The other day I came across an article that, like, I'm like, really? How many more weird buzzwords are we going to come across? So I was reading an article that was talking about this trend of procrastinating.
What?
So it's procrastination with working. So, and here's why this stuck with me. Number one, because I'm kind of over all of these crazy buzzwords that people keep inventing. And I don't want to call out the millennials, but I kind of feel like it's the millennials who come up with these really catchy marketing worthy slogans and phrases to get people talking. But hey, it worked because we're talking about it here. But more than that, the idea that you are putting off a high stress or high thought process sort of assignment by doing other work, like clearing out your inbox. You know that there's this thing with like inbox zero, whatever the fuck that is. I will never get to that. There is no way that I will ever get to zero emails in my inbox. It blows my mind to think that people actually spend time doing that, but whatever. So there's this whole concept of people would rather spend time doing that work. It is work. You're going through emails and you're kind of like taking on other assignments that other people are, but you're not really working on the stuff that you need to work on that might require a lot more thought or effort. Like if you're on deadline to put together this analysis report for a client, maybe someone here just had to. and then you know that this is going to take a lot of brain. You have to put a lot of thought. You have to put a lot of, you know, time into it. But you keep adding other stuff on your to-do list to put that stuff off. And I know that the whole procrastination thing, there's a whole emotional component behind it. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if this is a topic or therapy, but it actually is a thing. And people now are struggling with this thing of like, how do I prioritize my day? How do I prioritize my time? Because I have a lot of shit to do. So let me work on the easy stuff first and let me put off the big stuff for later. But then when the big stuff's deadline comes forward and forward and forward, and then you're like, holy shit. Then you're stuck. You're like, oh my God. So what do you guys think about number one, this concept of procrastinating? And number two, do you guys do it too? Am I the only asshole that does that right here?
Deep breath. So I can't with these buzzy terms of something that just has been going on forever.
Forever. I mean, like, why do you need to make up a new term? Everybody's been doing that forever.
I don't know. What do you think, Steph?
Public announcement. Listen, millennials, just because you rename something doesn't mean it's you.
It might be Gen Zers too.
This existed. People have been lazy their entire lives. So back to the term, the system I like to use is called deep work, where I purposely go into my calendar, block time for important projects. And people know that during 2 hours or 3 hours, I am working on important stuff that should not be interrupted. That's not always realistic. It really depends on the workplace. So good luck with that. But
I was going to be like, Steph, wow, damn, you are like way more organized than I hope to be. But well, I would love to learn from that though. So this was such a great discussion. And before we go, you've heard from Stephanie. Eileen and I are just thrilled and over the moon. We are so lucky to have her on our team. She's a badass senior marketing manager. She's got a background in finance and she's been incredibly helpful and proactive, and she's made a huge difference for us.
Yeah. And not only does Steph have a full-time corporate job, she's also getting her master's and she's a mom. And she asked us if she could be part of Surfing Corporate. So we are extremely lucky to have you, Steph.
Thank you so much. I got to say that it's been an honor to be a part of this season. I've learned so much from you too. I want the audience to know that Glenda and Eileen really try their best to give you guys the most valuable and top-notch content out there. Everything's highly researched. The opinions here are backed by as much information as we can find. And I just want to share a story real quick. So last night, I was going over the materials for today, and I had a moment. And as my husband was entering the room, I told him, I was like, I'm having a moment right now. And I think he was like very concerned, like, what's going on? And I was like, no, I'm okay. But I'm having a moment. This feeling's called like happiness. Like I'm having a happy moment right now. And he was like, what's going on? Why? And I told him that I was going over all of the different episodes and the recaps of everything we have accomplished and done in just one season together. And I just felt that joy of the milestones that we have been able to hit together and how much the project has grown in just one season. And all that to say, I'm incredibly proud of being part of this team, and knowing you guys has been an honor for sure. So thank you to the audience and to you guys, and let's keep going.
You made me tear up right now, Steph.
Let's have everybody here. Have everybody here in the studio applaud now. Fantastic. Amazing. The magic of post.
Well, after hearing all of that and revisiting our season, it's really, really been amazing. And of course, we have to thank all of our listeners, all of you who have reached out to us via email, via DM, on Instagram or LinkedIn. Your words, your notes, your comments mean the world to us. You know, we've heard from people literally all over the world. We recently learned that an entire team of 20 people in Hungary listens to us, and we're amazed.
That's mind-blowing. And like, our entire team listens every week. We're like,
yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, we had a little like fangirl moment for you guys that you take the time to listen to us. So thank you to all of you who love our content and reach out and give us words of encouragement.
And again, remember, sponsorships are now officially open for season 4,
as is our Surfing Corporate shop.
Just go to surfingcorporate.com and click on shop.
If you'd like Eileen and I to come to talk to your teams about work culture or work experiences, you can reach out to us at hello@surfingcorporate.com, and we can spark thoughtful conversations tailored to your team.
It's like having Adam Grant, but cheaper and less qualified, but cheaper.
We love you guys. Thanks so much for listening.
It's been a blast navigating these waters with you. Hang in there, corporate servers. See you soon.